Hello, everyone. This is Jay with the Magnify Him Together podcasts. This is episode number 27. Today's title is Delivered from the Sword of Pharaoh. This is our first podcast in our series on the Gospel of the Burning Bush. In the Word of God, some of the most beautiful treasures are tucked away in the most familiar narratives. It's so important that we read these scriptures slowly, thoughtfully, and prayerfully, because it's so easy to overlook the teachings that are hidden there. Real events recorded in the Word are often parables with their own secrets to be discovered. We find a wonderful example of this in Exodus chapter 3, where we read about the call of Moses. It says in Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, that Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. The God of heaven has revealed his word in many different ways throughout history, sometimes through dreams, visions, prophets, and just like here, with an angel. But have you ever wondered why Yahweh, who can do anything, decided to reveal himself to Moses in a bush that burned with fire but was not consumed? In other words, what does the burning bush mean? Let's consider the fire first of all. We know that God is love, God is light, and our God is a consuming fire. A consuming fire is one of the symbols that the Father uses to describe how he operates against those who reject him. It's more than interesting that it's Moses who emphasizes this truth to the children of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 9 at verse 3. Understand therefore this day that the Lord thy God is he which goeth over before thee. As a consuming fire he shall destroy them, and he shall bring them down before thy face. So shalt thou drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord hath said unto thee. In this place, Moses encouraged Israel to trust in Yahweh's power to drive out the Canaanites. But the children of Israel were not to trust in their own strength or righteousness. And so Moses also warned that same generation against becoming spiritual Canaanites by adopting their lifestyle, even though he knew that their descendants eventually would. He says, "Take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make you a graven image or a likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God." That's from Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. So this is not just Old Testament teaching, because these very words are quoted in Hebrews chapter 12 at verse 29 to warn us against rejecting the truth that we have come to know in love. So, as a consuming fire, our God reveals both his goodness and his severity. The same consuming fire that destroys his enemies also preserves those who are his people. And that's exactly the message that God was about to share with Moses here at the burning bush. He is a consuming fire, but to his people, he is a fire not to destroy them by consuming them, but to preserve them by purifying them. In other words, the people of God dwell with the consuming fire, just like the bush that Moses turned aside to see. This is the good news, or the gospel, of the burning bush. Now that we see our God in this fire, just like Moses does in Exodus 3, let's meditate a little more about the bush. Why was it that Moses turned aside? Verse 3 says that he wanted to consider this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. It doesn't take long for a fire to consume something like this thorny bush under normal circumstances. But these were special circumstances, and God was about to act for his people. In fact, God has already acted for his people by preserving Moses through his whole life to this point. Under normal circumstances, Moses would already have been completely consumed. So in a very real sense, when Moses looked at that unconsumed bush, he was looking at his own reflection. Here's what I mean. Take a moment to think about Moses' life up to this point. Can you think of a situation that would have consumed and destroyed him under normal or natural circumstances? Even in the little we have recorded about the first 80 years of his life, we have several examples. The Hebrews had slogged through decades of affliction after Joseph's death, so much so that for the children of Israel, Egypt was an iron furnace, as it says in Deuteronomy 4, verse 20. They suffered as slaves beneath the burdens of their Egyptian taskmasters. We remember how Pharaoh feared the incredible growth of the children of Israel, and so commanded the midwives to kill every little boy born to them. Yahweh blessed the midwives who defied the decree, and the number of the Hebrews continued to increase in the land. And so Pharaoh issued a new law, which added to an already desperate situation. Every son that is born you shall cast into the river, he said. In the midst of this fiery affliction, a faithful Levite named Amram and his wife Jochebed had a son. His little ark floated down the Nile to an area where Pharaoh's daughter stood, the daughter of the very man who issued the decree against the Hebrew male children. But instead of killing the child, she named him Moses and adopted him as her own son. 40 years later, having been faithfully raised long enough by his birth mother Jochebed for the word of God to take root in his heart, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and he left Egypt behind to seek his brethren. Remember what he did. Moses slew an Egyptian who had attacked one of his Hebrew brethren. For he supposed, it says in Acts chapter 7 at verse 25, that his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. How encouraging this is to all of God's children who struggle to understand how the Father is working in their lives. It must be enough for us to hang on to the truth that we know for sure, in spite of all that we struggle to understand. And again the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove, and would have set them at one again, saying, Sirs, ye are brethren, why do ye wrong one to another? But his own people rejected him, refusing his leadership, and Moses fled. Pharaoh had also learned of Moses' crime and sought to kill him. And for the next 40 years, Moses lived in Midian as a shepherd, where he married a wife and fathered two children. Moses never forgot how God had preserved him in his trials. He named one of his sons to commemorate this deliverance by naming him Eleazar, meaning, God is my help. Because the God of my father, said he, was mine help and delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. Looking at the bush was like Moses looking into the mirror. He should have been consumed in Egypt's furnace of affliction. Pharaoh sought his life at his birth, but the waters did not overwhelm him. He received the name Moses because he was drawn out, as his name means. He was drawn out of the water. And also when he killed the Egyptian, Pharaoh could not touch him. Moses recognized that God saved him from Pharaoh. He had come out of Egypt unconsumed. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was not yet finished with Moses. He had a great work to do through him, and it wasn't only about the deliverance of Moses himself. It was for the whole nation that had rejected him 40 years before. And Yahweh said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. Moses was the first one to experience deliverance out of Egypt, and now he was about to return to deliver his people. Thanks for listening. Please join us again next Monday for the next episode in this series entitled The Gospel of the Burning Bush on the Magnify Him Together podcast.